sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time.
We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
Like almost anyone else, I'm rather proud of my family tree. My ancestry dates back to the first sunrise, if you'll be tolerant of a bit of boasting. Like Adam and Eve, my family made its beginning with day and night. Later, we expanded. You heard of the sundial? Well, he was a grand old patriarch on my father's side. And I've had a few famous cousin aunts in the Middle Ages. They measured their existence by notches on a tallow candle. As the family grew, so grew our prestige. Big Ben, for instance, is a famous relation of mine. Yes. In the old days, we were very dignified and severe. But today? Well, the younger generation is rather frivolous, I'm afraid. My great-great-grandfather was a solid old gentleman who was very close to the King of France. He ought to see his great-great-grandniece. Of all things, she's decided to become a wristwatch. The old gentleman would burst a mainspring if he knew. Yes, we're all a bit proud of our ancestry. Just as the Bradfords are. Important people, the Bradfords. Born to the purple, so to speak. They have a townhouse in the city, a villa in the south of France, and a hunting lodge. But the hunting lodge is by far their favorite rendezvous.
Another sherry, Ken?
No, thanks, Diana. I'll have another brandy.
Don't you think you've had enough?
Don't be silly. You ought to give my sister a little talking to, Ken. She's getting to be a reformer.
I'm no reformer, Bud. It nearly bores me to see you drinking yourself to death.
Not a chance. I intend to remain alive for a long, long time.
I'll leave him alone, Diana. He's all right.
Well, the dog's in fine shape for the morning's hunt. We'll show you a bit of quail hunting, Kemp, that you've never seen before.
Sounds good, Charles.
How can you be interested in quail after bagging a tiger in India and wild buffalo on the African veldt?
Oh, don't let my wife discourage you, Kemp. I promise you plenty of excitement in the morning.
Are you coming with us, Diana?
No, I'm staying here.
Diana feels that a quail is no match for her shooting eye. And I'm inclined to agree. By George, that woman's the best shot in the country.
And quite a hunter, too. I understand my sister can stalk and kill an animal even better than a lion can. Of course, she does have to use a gun, too.
Look here, Bud.
Oh, leave him alone, Charles. He doesn't annoy me. Bud's just a bit squeamish about hunting. He feels it's a little like murder.
Well, isn't it? You brag about bagging tigers in India, but how do you do it? In the back of an elephant or a platform on top of a tree.
Your sister's gone after tigers on foot, Bud.
I've done the same thing, Bud, and it is a dangerous business.
Funny thing, Kemp, but you're the only one I can't make out. Diana's had a nose for hunting ever since I can remember. She started as a kid in the trap for rats and ended up on rhino.
Much to Bud's unhappiness.
Her psychology and Charles, I can understand. They have a yen to kill, and they've found a way to do it legally. Bud.
Oh, let him talk. He's very interesting.
But you, Kemp, you're different.
Am I?
You're not a savage, a marauder. You're a civilized man. Why do you indulge in such an uncivilized practice?
Well, perhaps it flatters my ego, Bud. Perhaps I'm a little more barbarous than you think I am.
Bud can never understand the thrill of hunting because he's never done it. He doesn't know what it means to match your wits with a wild animal, to stalk and finally outwit something that's a thousand times your superior in strength and cunning.
I wonder how you'd feel, Diana, if instead of being the hunter, you became the hunted.
Yes. Yes, I've often wondered what would happen if the roles were reversed and we were trying to avoid being killed by the animals.
That happens very often in India. Among the natives, tigers have been known to carry off human beings.
But those people aren't hunters, as you and I are.
Well, in any case, young man, you have no right to condemn anything without having experienced it yourself.
Why don't you go out with Charles and Kent in the morning, Bud?
I refuse to kill for no reason at all.
You can even hunt. You can watch. It might give you an even better argument against what you insist on calling murder.
All right, I will. I'll go along with you two homicidal nimrods. I only hope I have the stomach to speak to either of you after it's over.
Well, my handsome brother isn't quite as chicken-hearted as I thought he was.
Where are you going, Bud?
Up to bed. And I'm taking the brandy bottle with me.
The young man's a little too big for his britches.
The result is too much money, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm turning in myself. Are you coming, dear?
No, I'll have a cigarette first, Charles. You go ahead.
We'll be ready to leave at 5 a.m., Kent.
I'll be up.
I'll see you in the morning, then. Good night.
Good night, Charles.
Has it been a pleasant weekend, Kent?
Yes, very pleasant, Diana. I'm glad I was invited.
There won't be many more invitations like this.
Have I abused my privilege as a guest?
No. We've abused ours.
How do you mean?
We're selling the estate.
Really?
Together with a house in France, in the townhouse.
Why, Diana? What for?
My husband is going into bankruptcy.
No.
Well, don't look so shocked. He isn't the first.
But I just don't understand. I thought Charles was a very wealthy man.
He was, yes. But money has a habit of disappearing when you spend it like water. And you're never around to manage your business affairs.
And what about your brother, Bud? Can't he help you out?
He could, but he won't. He's still got every penny he inherited from father, and he'll continue to have it and keep it for himself. Oh, it doesn't matter, really. He'll get along.
If there were anything I could do,
Well, it's sweet as you think. But you're no millionaire. And the amount we need is much too large. We're used to living high, and we can't reform. My husband's a fool. And I have to pay for his unbusinesslike qualities. I suppose I'd have been better off if I had married a man like you.
Diana, please, don't let's go into that again. You know how I feel about it.
Yes. Yes, of course. A gentleman never makes love to his first wife.
Diana, please.
All right, we'll let go at that. I'm tired. I think I'll turn in.
You're sure you won't come along with us in the morning?
No, thanks. But I'll see you at dinner when you return.
All right.
And Ken?
Yes?
Good hunting.
Find the morning, eh, Ken?
Wonderful, Charles. Perfect morning for killing.
Now, look here, man. If you're coming along with us, let's have none of that.
I'd try to be tolerant until the hunt is over.
Come on, dear.
Those are two very excellent pointers you have there, Charles.
Seeing over here is a better one, no? The prince is just a bit over-anxious at times. He's inclined to false point, I think.
I think Queenie's caught a glance, sir.
What happens when those dogs locate the unlucky creatures, do you? We butcher them in their nests?
We flush them before we shoot, but we don't fire unless they're on the wing.
That's very decent.
Right? The dogs are entering the woods.
Perhaps they're after something a little bigger than quail.
No, I doubt it. Let's follow them in.
Really, the most ridiculous.
Will you be quiet, please, Charles? There's the prince. Frozen one pocket. Steady there. He's your bird, Kent. Nice shot.
Wonderful.
Oh, go on, Prince. Retrieve him.
That's on.
The private animal standing stock still.
By the way, where's the other dog? Where's King?
King? King boy!
Funny. Just a minute, Charles. Let's have a look behind those trees.
Why, it's King. He's been hurt.
Well, he's dead.
Do you think one of our shots
might... No. Look at this wound in his breast.
Oh.
That's the way it appears to me.
Poor animal. What about me? This dog was expensive. It took me years to train.
I feel sorry for you too, Charles.
What could have killed this dog?
I can't make it out.
I didn't hear any sound. Did you, Bud?
No, in the barking.
Not yet. Look at that throat.
The King was large for his breed. He could put up a fight if he wanted to.
And we'd have heard it if he did.
Let's get the prince over here. See if he can pick up a scent. Prince! Prince! Where in blazes is he?
He's in there just a moment ago.
Prince!
He must be behind that clearing, Charles.
Sounds like he's in trouble. Come on. Kent!
It's the prince.
But look
at his throat. We mangled in exactly the same way.
Oh, I can't believe it. How could two dogs be killed right under our noses? Why didn't they bark? Why didn't they struggle?
Let's have a look at the ground.
I can't understand. Charles, what is it? Come over here.
Look at this.
What's that? Footprint,
yes. In this wet patch of ground.
Look at the size of them. They're over a foot long.
What kind of an animal could have made those prints?
I don't know, but I thought I'd seen the tracks of every animal under the sun, but I've never seen anything like this before. We seem to have run into a new type of monster, Charles. And a killer as well.
Since the beginning of time, knowledge has been man's best reassurance against fear. It has always been the unknown, the incomprehensible, that he has been afraid of. The first mammoth tracks for the prehistoric man, the first gorilla prints for the African savage, and now, for three lone hunters, these mysterious and fearsome impressions in the mud.
Have you found any more prints, Kent?
No. Just these three.
Three?
Yes, like a triangle.
Well, you think this creature may be three-legged?
I don't know.
Well, what will we do?
I haven't decided yet.
It only carries small bore guns. If this monster's as big as you think it is, we...
Well, the hunter seems to be a little worried. His gun isn't big enough. He needs nothing less than an armored tank to bag a rabbit.
One more crack out of you, bud. Brother-in-law or no brother-in-law?
Else, take it easy.
My two best dogs. Massacred like chickens. If I could get a bead on whatever did the job,
I... You want to try?
Hard game if you are.
I once saw a man bring down a lion with a light Springfield rifle. It was a lucky shot and it took nerve, but he did it. Between the two of us.
The two of us is right. We won't get any help from this fool over here.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Charles. I'll take the place of your dogs.
What?
I'll scout for you. I'm good at that sort of thing.
You just watch the old bloodhound hit the trail. I'll yell if I see anything suspicious.
Bud! Come on, let's follow him. Those footprints baffle me completely. Why only three? And the web marks, I can't make those out either. They look something like a duck print.
A duck?
Providing you could find a duck that was 9 feet high.
Is that how big you think the animal is?
At least.
I wonder.
You wonder what, Charles?
Why, I've heard stories.
Wait a minute.
Bud!
Yes?
You all right?
The old bloodhound is still on the trail.
What were you saying about stories, Charles?
Well, they had to do with prehistoric monsters, swamp creatures from out of the past. Well, whatever it is, we'll catch up with it soon enough.
Charles, wait.
What's the matter?
I want to examine this tree.
You find anything unusual?
Look at these holes.
What are they?
I'm not sure, but they could have been caused by heavy claws. There's
nothing in the branches up there.
Yet something must have scraped and climbed part of the way up this trunk very recently. Our quarry, Charles. May have wanted to keep an eye out. For us.
I don't like this business, Kent.
Neither do I.
I think we ought to go back for more help. We could round up a party of 20 or so and beat the woods in a circle. Then, with bigger guns, we'd be in a better position.
Yes, that's not a bad idea.
Well, let's get started.
Wait a minute. We've got to get Bud back here.
Bud! Bud!
He must have got too far ahead of us to hear.
We'd better catch up with him, Charles.
It would serve the idiot right if he got lost.
He can't be too far away. We're only separated by a couple of hundred yards.
Bud! Where are you, Bud?
He tried to trick us.
I don't think so.
You don't know this brother-in-law of
Charles.
What? Don't move. What do you see?
There's something in that underbrush.
Oh, blast its head.
Don't fire.
Wait until it moves. I don't see anything.
Come a little closer.
Kent! Kent, look!
It's Bud.
His throat, Kent.
He's dead.
We've got to get out of these woods, Kent.
Not so fast. Let me take a look at the ground over here.
Not a sound. He didn't make a sound before he died. He'd have had a chance.
Charles.
Well?
The same print. The web feet.
Yes.
Three of them.
Where do they lead?
They don't. They just stop there.
Well, the only thing we can do is to get back to town and inform the authorities.
We can do that.
What do you mean, if?
How far into these woods have we gone?
Oh, 3 or 4 miles, and I know every inch of the way back.
Perhaps our quarry does, too.
What? What are you getting at, kid?
We may as well face it, Charles. We're not the hunters anymore. We are the hunted.
I don't know what you mean.
We're being tracked down and slaughtered one by one, the way I've tracked and slaughtered so many animals myself.
Oh, are you going crazy, Kent?
No, I'm not going crazy. I'm just being honest and logical. Do you remember what Bud said to us last night? How would we feel if the roles were reversed? If the animals hunted us?
Yes.
Now I know what he meant.
That's exactly why I want to get back to town.
We can't run away from it. If we get panicky, we haven't got a chance.
So what can we do?
Face it, Charles. And use the strongest weapon we still have. Our brains.
What do you mean? We've got to outwit this? This horror?
Yes. And we can do it, too, if we keep our heads. I've hunted all over the world, and I know every trick that there is to know about tracking game. Surprise is the hunted animal's biggest asset, and we'll use it.
All right.
We are no longer the hunters, Charles. Remember that. We're the quarry now. Have you ever wondered how it feels to be a hunted beast? Well, Charles and Kent are finding out. Listen.
We're only a couple of miles from the edge of the woods now.
Don't hurry. Walk slowly and watch.
Kent.
Yes.
Look at that rock.
It's a blood smear.
Fresh.
I'd say it was made in the last 5 minutes.
Then that monster must be nearby.
Can you climb, Charles?
Climb.
A tree. It forks about 10 feet up. We'll be fairly safe there for a while.
I think I can make it.
Go ahead. I'll cover you as you go up, and then you can cover me when I follow.
All right.
I've got a plan in mind that may work. We'll go over the details up there.
Oh, how much longer must we roost up here in this tree, Kent?
Be patient. Your life is worth a little discomfort, isn't it?
We've been here for hours. We haven't seen a thing.
But we're still alive.
Well, what about that plan you talked about before?
Yes, I think it might work.
Shouldn't we get on with it? It's getting dark.
That's exactly what I'm waiting for.
The doctor?
Yes.
We'll be at a disadvantage.
Oh, no, we won't. The hunted are most dangerous in the dark, and we are the hunted. Charles.
Well?
There's something I want to tell you about.
What is it?
It's about Diana and me.
Diana and you?
You're a good friend of mine, Charles. Well, I've just got to be honest with you. This thing's been on my mind for so long.
What is it?
She's in love with me, Charles. I don't know how I feel about her, but I'm not going to wait around long enough to find out. I'm leaving the country. If we ever get out of here alive. And I'm leaving for good. Well?
You needn't make any excuses. I don't care any more about Diana than she does about me. And you weren't the first man she's gone for since we were married.
What?
Well, she thinks she's been very clever about it, but she doesn't fool me.
Certainly surprised to see you taking it that way.
Stop being surprised and get us out of here. That's the only thing that interests me now.
It'll be dark in a few more minutes, and then we can go to work. We'll place the trap right below this tree.
You're setting a trap?
Yes. Something that I learned in South America. I hope it works.
And if it doesn't,
then it won't make any difference to either of us. About Diana.
How deep do you want this ditch to be?
Only about 8 inches and 20 to 25 inches wide. All right. Let me have your hunting knife now.
What are you going to do?
Plant it in the ground.
Here.
Thanks. Stick it in. Blade up. Over there.
Oh, yes. I'm beginning to see what you're getting at.
We'll try to attract our monster in this direction and keep our fingers crossed. If he trips over that ditch, as I expect him to, then he'll fall on top of this knife blade.
But won't he see the ditch?
No, not if we cover it carefully with twigs and leaves. I'd better start doing that right away.
There aren't enough dry leaves in this clearing, Kent. But
maybe some over the other side.
Oh, I'll go and get some.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought I heard something.
I didn't hear anything.
All right. When we've covered this ditch, we'll raise our voices to attract its attention.
What about the rifles?
We'll each take a stand on either side of the tree, and when we spring the trap, we'll both fire as well. That ought to do the trick.
I wonder what it looks like.
A hunter?
Yes.
I'd rather think about it.
I'll get the rest of those leaves.
Don't go too far.
No, I'm all right. I can see up to 20 yards ahead of me. Now that the moon's coming out.
Find some, Charles?
Yes. Over here.
All right, come back.
No, wait a minute. There's something.
Charles!
No, no.
All right. All right, whoever you are, you've sunk your claws into him, but you've one more to go, my invisible friend. And in order to get me, you'll have to come after me. I'm over here. This way. You can't miss me. Over this way. Rather swimming fins.
Yes. But you're trapped. Oh, Lord.
Diane.
Don't try to lose me. You're only wasting your time. Remember, I wished you could hunt me again. Well, I trust you. Had it. With me.